Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another morning, an opportunity again to fulfill the scriptures that says that in the last days, one will speak, the children of God will speak often one to another, and the Lord will hear it and write it in a book of remembrance as we speak daily one to another, Lord, like they did in the early church. Lord, we know that you are writing it in a book of remembrance. Glory to God. And I pray that, Lord, the entrance of your word will bring light into our situations and give us understanding. In the name of the Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you know, you might wonder why we are sharing all these promises. I mean, I've done this before, but since we were on the subject of the faith lab, how the faith lab, you know, how we use the promises of God, you know, to establish kind of a formula for success. You know, and once we figure out how it works, we stay with it, but it always starts with the promises of God. That's why I'm doing this. Give us these promises that no matter what situation you are in, you can pull something out of your toolbox, so to speak, and begin to stand upon that, use it, declare it, persuaded of it, embrace it, confess it, and declare it, declare it, declare it. That's what we're doing. Today, I want to cover the topic of guidance. You know, so important. But then I've got a few more things. So I just called it, you know, promises on guidance and more. I'll be also giving us some, you might call it all encompassing promises. That covers just about anything. Praise the Lord. So you'll be able to have these promises in your toolbox. Why is guidance important? Why is it important for the Lord to guide us, for the Lord to be with us? Well, because it's impossible for us to properly navigate through this world on our own without him. And so he's the one that's leading and we must follow. Jesus talked about himself being the good shepherd. And he said the good shepherd leads his sheep and they follow him. And a stranger, they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. But when he puts out forth his own, he goes before them and he calls them by name. Glory to God. So we thank God that we are his sheep. You know, just think about it. I mean, the Lord will not leave us to just be roaming around by ourselves for the wolves to prey upon us. You know, he's got that shepherd's keen eye, looking out for the sheep. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. The Bible calls him so. And so let's see how he wants to guide us, how he wants to be with us. He already is with us, but how he wants us to know these things as we go through and navigate each day of our lives. Praise the Lord. So I'll start here in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that is such a promise that you can use every day. You can get up in the morning and quote this promise and apply it for your day and say, Lord, you said you will go with me. Your presence will go with me. And you will give me rest today. You know, Moses, he prayed. He said, Lord, if your presence will not go with us, then carry us not thence. We don't even want to go anywhere. Unless your presence don't, you know, let us just stay put. And the children of Israel, they experienced something remarkable through their journeys through the wilderness. The pillar of fire would guide and lead them by night. I mean, it would protect them by night, the cloudy pillar by day. And, you know, when the pillar stopped, they stopped. When it removed and started moving, they moved. I mean, it was an amazing story, you know. So also teaching us that the presence of the Lord will be with us at this time. Well, you know, that presence of the Lord can be so thick. Sometimes you can see it like a cloud. And sometimes it can glow like a fire in the night. But whether you see it or not, I want you to know that He is there with you. And the presence of the Lord will go with you. You know, and did you know that the way that the Lord said this, it's so reassuring and it's so comforting the way He said it. You know, He said, my presence will go with you. Glory to God. If His presence does not go with us, well, what are we going to do? You know, so use this promise for yourself. Not only will His presence go with you, He's also said, I will give thee rest. Hallelujah. Rest from the hard labor and hard servitude. And He said, I will give you rest. So that's a powerful, powerful one to start off with this morning. Praise the Lord. Okay. One of my all-time favorites, Job chapter 32. We're talking on the subject of guidance and, you know, inspiration on here this morning. Job 32 and 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Well, I mean, what led to that? Why was this pronunciation made? If you read the background, you know, it was Elihu. We're told that Elihu, one of the people that were, you know, surrounding Job at that time, his three friends. And, you know, he was kind of the youngest among them. So Elihu said, look, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and did not dare to show you my opinion. I said, days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom. Well, yeah, but it's not always like that. So he come back and said, but there is a spirit in man. You know, there's a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always the wisest. Neither are the aged always the one that understand judgment. You know, so, but there is this spirit inside of you. And you can connect with Him in a way that it will give you inspiration. Powerful scripture for you to use from time to time. It has worked for me. You know, I draw upon the inspiration of the Lord when I don't know which way to turn, at a crossroads or whatever. And in everyday situations that you go through, call upon Him and He will guide you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 31, verses 3 and 4. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have set and laid secretly for me. Powerful prayers, you know, that you can use for yourself. The Lord will lead you for His own name's sake. He will guide you. We're talking about guidance here this morning. And He said, look, Lord, pull me out of the net. You know, sometimes you may fall in, and sometimes he will keep you from falling in. And if you do fall in, he will pull you out. You know, the Lord gave David that confidence. Many times he said, look, you know, the Lord pulled me out of the miry clay, you know, set my feet on the rock, and he gave me a new song in my mouth, you know, and my goings forth have been established by the Lord. So he's declaring here that the Lord is able to pull him out of any situation. And read his testimony again in Psalm 40. Said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and I put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Powerful scriptures that you can use for yourself. This, and here is one. Yeah, it's kind of like a promise. So this, you know, this is mixed up with promises, you know, different things and how you can use them. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, you know, sometimes we don't know the outcome when we embark on something, you know, but we're trusting the Lord that his presence will go with us. And if you commit every step of the way unto him, this scripture guarantees when you trust him as well, that he will bring it to pass. So that's a good one. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37, same chapter, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Lord will order your steps. You know, as long as you yourself, you are walking in righteousness before him. Praise the Lord. And the Lord, you know, he even said, delighteth in his way. Praise the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Isn't that wonderful? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Glory to God. So the Lord will delight in your ways, and as long as you are walking in his ways, he will be with you, uphold you with his hand. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a two-way thing. You delight in the Lord, and he will delight in you as well. Praise God. Now, Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward you receive me unto glory. Woo-hoo! Amen. My, I say amen to that one. A confidence that he will be there with the Lord. Psalm 73 and verse 24. The Lord will give you counsel. He will guide you as you go through life. And he said, well, when it's all said and done, he actually said, you know, he will receive me into glory. Praise God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart filleth for God. He said, my soul thirsteth for God. God is the strength of my heart and is my portion forever. Ha! Hallelujah. Beautiful promises to use to encourage yourself. Psalm 119. Now, this Psalm 119, you know, I just can't get enough of it. It's just so powerful around how you can use, you know, the word of God for every situation, how important that word will be for you. You know, so everything that is in these scriptures, very long scriptures, you know, yeah, but nonetheless, it's filled with assurances of what the Lord, you know, will, I mean, how the word of God will have impact in our lives. So anytime you have opportunity, read portions of this Psalm 119. Just read portions of it. It's all based on the word of God. You know, every way, everywhere you turn, you know, it's in there. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Lord, using his word, you will not be in darkness. Hallelujah. You will be in the light. Praise the Lord. Powerful promises. Psalm 121 and verse 8. The whole psalm is also good, you know, for protection and for guidance. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and even forevermore. The Lord will preserve you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When the Lord is preserving you, when the Lord is directing you, he will keep you from making mistakes that will bring regret. And that's why these scriptures are so powerful. And when we trust our ways unto the Lord, he will direct our paths. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, that's something that we can trust, that, you know, trust the Lord through every process that we are going through. Now, look, I will do the best I can, but I'm going to leave the outcome to the Lord. Do the best you can, you know, but, you know, also rely on the mind of Christ to guide you through the process. The Lord is the one that guides us through that process. It is so, so important. You know, we may make our plans. We can make our, you know, all the plans and things and so forth, and, you know, purposes in our heart. But the outcome, the Lord is the one that's going to direct us. So this is a powerful scripture. It also gives us the understanding that, look, Lord, you will keep me from making a mistake. That's right. That will bring regret. The Lord will make a you know, keep me from making that mistake. When you are at a crossroads, he said in Isaiah 30 and verse 21, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you're about to turn to the right or to the left, he will tell you which way to go. That's guidance from the Lord. He will give you instruction. He will give you strategy also. You know, Isaiah 58 and verse 11. The Lord will guide thee continually. That's right. Continually. Not just, you know, here and there, but the Lord will guide you continually. Praise God. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 79. The day spring from on high has visited us, among many things, to guide, he said, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, the day spring from on high and the day star from on high, even he has visited us to guide our feet. Praise the Lord. Guide our feet. You know, keep us from going into the darkness. I mean, sitting in darkness. And keep us from the shadow of death. And guide our feet into the way of peace. Hallelujah. You know, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness. So anytime that you sit in darkness, you know, you think, well, you know, I'm not hearing clearly from the Lord, or I don't have direction. Remember, you know, he'll give light to them that sit in darkness. And even in the shadow of death, and even Christ said, look, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Have the light of life and guide your feet into the way of peace and not the way of trouble. Hallelujah. Powerful scriptures that we can use. Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So that's a powerful promise that we can quote. Lord, you said you will come speedily to my rescue. Sammy said, make no tarrying, O my God. Hallelujah. Come speedily to my rescue. But Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he's coming to rescue you from whatever that situation is. He will avenge you because you're crying unto him day and night. Well, but when he comes, shall he find you still at the point of faith? That's what he means. When he comes, shall he find you still believing? So when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? You know, sometimes people give up. I mean, they've been through, they're hanging in there, hanging in there, hanging in there. Then they get weary because long hope, you know, sometimes wearies the soul and wearies the mind. And, you know, just about when the solution or the answer is around the corner, they give up. See, and once you give up and turn back, well, you missed the answer that was coming from the Lord. So we stay right there. And Jesus said, when I do show up, will you still be at a point of faith? Now, Jesus promised some powerful things about the Holy Spirit. Among many things that the Lord said concerning the Holy Spirit, he talks about him guiding us into all truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Furthermore, he will even show you things to come. You know, he will give you, you know, an inside advantage to see what's coming. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful promise about the Holy Spirit. Guide you into all truth. In fact, anytime you are debating and you don't understand something, maybe it's doctrine, maybe it's instruction in righteousness, maybe it's some revelation that someone shared and you don't understand it, go to the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 says, the anointing which you have received, which is the Holy Spirit, the same is true. And this same anointing will teach you, you know, all things. Praise the Lord. And he said, look, he will teach you, same anointing, teaches you all things. And it's the truth and it's no lie. Even as I taught you, you will abide in him. So the Lord will teach you all things through the Holy Spirit. And so we should always remember, go to the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. You need to learn something, you know, figure something out. You are confused. You need strategy. Let's go to the Holy Spirit. Now, those were scriptures around guidance, but I want to give you some more scriptures, which maybe you might look at them as just powerful and, you know, all encompassing promises. In other words, they can cover just about any situation. And you can't find a specific promise for something. You can always find these, you know, all encompassing promises, covers any situation. You will see why in a minute. Take a look at this one in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. I call it the ASK ordinance, or the ASK rule, or the ASK promise. How do you spell ask? Well, it's ASK. Well, if you take each of those three letters that form the word ask, together as an acronym, you will see that this is a triple action faith that's contained inside this little word ask. A by itself stands for ask. S stands for seek. And K stands for knock. And so it's triple action faith. That's how you do it. Sometimes you ask. Sometimes you seek. Sometimes you knock. And Jesus is saying, that's the real definition of ask. Has these three components to it. A, S, K. Don't you ever forget it. And if you ask, he said, look, everyone that asketh, receiveth. I remember I was a young man. In fact, I remember, well, almost. Maybe I don't remember exactly where I was, but I almost remember the circumstances around which the Lord revealed this to me. And I started to quote it back then. I would say, for everyone that asketh, receive it. For everyone that seeketh, find it. To them that knocks, it shall be open. I mean, I was just quoting it to myself. That, look, if you pray, you will receive. You know, whereas some people were saying, well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe it's yes, maybe it's no. Maybe it's wait, maybe it's that. I always said, well, everyone that asketh, receive it. You know, and I was coming into faith then, and the Lord was using it to teach me. So it's very, very powerful. If you don't find any specific scripture, and there are a lot of specific scriptures which we have given you for one thing or the other, but you can always latch onto this. Lord, you said, if I ask, I will receive. And when I seek you, Lord, I will find. Say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, you also said, when I knock, you know, that door will be open unto me. And we've heard it said in this room that while you are knocking and waiting, be waiting in the hallway with your praises. That's right. And, you know, that door is going to open unto you. It will, because Jesus said it right here, you know. Sometimes you have to knock a little longer. I mean, imagine if you went to visit someone and you knocked or you rang the doorbell or whatever. I mean, you don't knock for, especially you saw their car outside, right? So you know they are there. You don't knock and just walk away unless you didn't really care to visit. You just wanted to drop something at the door. You know, they do that these days. And delivery people, you know, just put the thing at your door and then ring the doorbell and leave, just to let you know that you need to go and check the door. But if you wanted to go in, you would knock. You will wait for a response. And you would knock again because you know, you're convinced that they are in there because you've seen evidence that they're there. Maybe their car outside. So you know they're home. Maybe they're in the backyard. Maybe they're upstairs. Maybe they, you know, you knock again. You don't just knock and walk away, you know. So these are powerful scriptures. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. Again, I say unto you, Jesus said, that if two of you, see, this is another all-encompassing promise. You know, if you can get one more person of faith to believe with you, yeah, you got it. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, you can take this scripture literally, and it'll work. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. But remember, every time we must ask, you know, according to his will. You know, because the scripture has told us that in Lamentation 3 and 7, you know, and, you know, even, you know, the Apostle James also tells us sometimes why we ask and we receive not. Remember, we're on the subject of asking at, you know, at this point in the lesson. James chapter 4 verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Amiss means you ask something that's not in alignment with God's will. You know, so that's why it's always good to base everything on the scriptures, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Well, you know, there is a knowledge, inspiration that God is giving us now, that for true riches that are coming, it must be for those who know how to create wealth for their kingdom, not just to consume it upon themselves. And how is God trying to prove and identify those people? Well, he gives you a little at first, and you are not faithful with it. Jesus said it himself. If you are not faithful in that which is little, how then are you going to be faithful in that which is much? And you get a little increase, and all you can think of is just go on a shopping spree and just squander everything, and you don't think of anything else. You know, how you can use that increase as a blessing to somebody in the kingdom, or as a blessing for, you know, someone that is needy, and just squander it. Well, you know, a person like that is hardly a choice or a candidate, you know, for someone through the Lord who through the Lord will pass out resources. Remember what I said the other day, you know, if you know how to give it away, God will always make a way to get it to you. Give it away for somebody else. Give it away for something useful. Not just consume it upon your own lusts. This is what some people can't have enough. You know, can't have enough. I mean, you see, you go to the store, you see something, you must buy it. How many such things must you have? The Lord wants us to have good things. He wants us to look good. You know, buy yourself good clothes. You know, for a man to do well and enjoy the good of all his labor is a gift of God. Nothing wrong with that. But how many of it really, you know, do you need? You know, if you must have everything you see, that's a lost. That's a lost spirit. And Jesus, I mean, this scripture here is telling us that, look, get away from that lustful spirit. Don't let it get a hold of your mind. That may be the reason why you're not receiving what you're asking, because the Lord already knows that all you want to do is just, you know, fulfill your lust. You know, you're lost after everything you see in the store. Be careful now. You know, so he says, look, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. You know, so let's be assured in our hearts that we must still ask according to the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, going back to, you know, these promises, let's take a look at Matthew 21 and verse 22. The powerful scriptures. It covers every situation, even if you can't find, when you can't find a specific one, can always use these ones. Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Powerful stuff. But you can see how the ordinance works. You know, there is believing that's also embedded right there. If you ask but you don't believe, you may not receive. You ask but you waver in your mind, you may not receive. Let not him that wavereth think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So you ask in faith and you stay right there with it. Even if it looks like it's not immediately forthcoming, you still don't give an inch. Let's read James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1 verse 5. Or anything that you lack. For God giveth to all liberally, and he upbraideth not. And he shall be given to you when you ask. But let him ask in faith. James 1 verse 6. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We're talking about asking and receiving. But here are some nuggets of why we may ask and not receive. You know, when you are wavering in your mind, it said, let not that person think they will receive anything from the Lord. It's out there, right there in the scriptures. Said, look, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, unstable. So God is not going to deal with that. And if you are doubting in your mind, well, maybe the Lord will give it to me, maybe he won't. Well, maybe it's not God's will, maybe it is. Well, you know, maybe it's, you know, God wants to heal me, maybe he doesn't want to heal me. Well, double-minded man is unstable in his ways, and he's like a wave of the sea. Let him not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So it's very important for us to be stable when you ask. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. All things are possible to him that believeth. This is another powerful scripture that I have believed from my youth and up. Now, well, all things are actually possible, not just to God, but also to him that believes. You know, if you have the right kind of faith, you know, I mean, things can happen for you that, you know, parallel, you know, the acts of God. Because just like it says, nothing is impossible unto God. Well, nothing is impossible unto you, too, if you believe. I mean, this is the, you know, what the scripture means when it says, you know, we are given exceeding great and precious promises, you know, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature. I mean, you learn how to use these promises. You do them long enough. It's like practicing in the faith lab. You practice long enough, you almost become like God. You know, that's a divine nature. I mean, you practice his word. You know how it works. You do it. You've exercised your, you know, say having your senses exercised. You've exercised your senses. You got it down to a science. It's precise. You do it. It works one time, works the next time, works the next time after that. Always works. Then you are almost like an oracle then. Almost like an oracle of God, you know, because now you figured out what to say and how you say it, and it always comes to pass. That makes you an oracle of God. Praise God. You know, you are now endowed with the oracles of God. Hallelujah. You know, so that's how you do it. You know, God has given us, and there are many such promises in this Bible. Second Peter 1 and 4 tells us, thereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And that's what I've been covering the last few days. That by these promises, and by you exercising them correctly through these teachings, you can become partakers of the divine nature. Because when God just speaks a thing, he leaves it alone. And it's going to come to pass. You know, he speaks it and it is established. He commands and it is done. You know, there's no need for him to be checking it out to see whether it will happen. You know, so we need to become like that. Let's read some more powerful promises. Mark 11 and, you know, 24. Therefore, I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I mean, how many times is the Lord going to say this, and in how many ways, different ways, is he going to say the same thing? At the time that you are praying, or at the time that you are declaring something, that's the time that you believe. Faith is now. You know, the outcome could be later, but faith is now. At the moment of prayer, you believe and you leave it alone. That word will sustain itself. Powerful stuff if you know how to do it. And that's what we're trying to get every one of us to know how to do. Realize how this works and use it for yourself. Find the word of God, declare it, and stay with it and keep declaring it. But don't doubt it up and down. You know assuredly that it will come to pass. You know, hallelujah. You know, so that's especially if it is something that God already said. Remember, that's how we started the lesson on Faith Lab. You can't just say something that God didn't say and hope or believe that it will come to pass. That's not going to work. But if God first said it, then, you know, you're almost more than halfway there, because God already said it. And all you have to do is repeat what he said. Praise God. Hallelujah. These things are simple, but they are fundamental to our daily walking with God. Here are some powerful promises that Jesus point blank spoke again to his disciples. John chapter 14, verses 13 to 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. What is his name? Well, the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, how come then we ask things in the name of Jesus and it doesn't do it? Or it doesn't come to pass? Well, maybe because of all of these other things, the ordinances that we've talked about. You know, maybe when we asked, we were doubting. You know, maybe we didn't ask according to his will. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, you know, but if you meet all the conditions, it will surely come to pass. Here's another powerful one. John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, again, see that if, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. My goodness. I mean, look. This is like giving somebody, you know, carte blanche. You just give them a blank check and say, write anything you want on it and you can go cash it. I mean, who does that? Who has the capacity to tell you, ask me anything and I'll do it? You can't. You can't tell your kids or your grandkids that. I know I can't. Because they may ask me something I may not be able to give. You know, but God said that you can ask me anything and I can give it to you. Well, of course, you know, you can't ask things that are not according to the will of God. This is for those who are trained. We can't take one scripture out of the whole Bible and just run with it. You know, you have to, you know, temper all those scriptures along, you know, in alignment with, you know, the whole truth that is presented in the Word of God. This is the reason why many of us, we have not come into the place of dominion. Because if you have real dominion, and your character is not set like the character of Christ, you'll be asking for the life of your enemies. You'll be wanting to call fire down on them, you know, and so on. But we don't do that in this kingdom. That was then, but this is now. Some of the disciples of Jesus wanted to do that. Shall we call fire down on them? And Jesus knew that they could too. But he said, no, we don't do that anymore. That, you know, Elijah might have done that and so on. But this time around, I tell you, love your enemies. Praise God. You know, that's difficult to do, but that's the new standard in the kingdom. And until our character is in alignment with him, we can't have true dominion. Because, you know, people might use that power in the wrong way. You know, so some of these things are also based upon coming into his image and his likeness. That's how he put it out there. Let's make man in our image and after our likeness. That must happen first before they have dominion. So if we're trying to get dominion, trying to get authority and things in the kingdom today, well, check it out and see if you are acting in the likeness of God, acting like his character, and you're looking like God. Hallelujah. Bible says that Jesus looked exactly like God in the spirit. You know, because God is spirit. You know, don't look at God as flesh. Jesus said God is spirit. But the Bible says that Christ was the express image. So he looked exactly like God. He acted like God. He thought like God the Father. You know, and God said, yeah, that's my boy, in whom I am well pleased. So when we are coming into his image, we're acting like him, we're thinking like him, you know, then we have real power. See, because your mind's already like his mind. You have the mind of Christ. You're already thinking like he thinks. Then you can speak those things that come to pass. Hallelujah. Well, in these days that we are here now, many people have forgotten there is a promise that Christ will come again. We have forgotten it because we're chasing one thing or the other. And, you know, so, we just can't think of it anymore. People don't think about the coming of the Lord. It's just, you know, we're consumed with, you know, how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get married. I'm going to send my kids to college. And all these things, which we must do as long as we are here. But don't lose sight of this incredible promise. This is one of the most powerful promises that God gave in that scripture for us to look forward to. Acts 1 and 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go. Look, it's going to come to pass. Nothing can change it. People can't even pray against it. All that God needs us to do is understand how to quicken that process. This gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24 and 14, shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. And so as this gospel is going out, keep your eyes and minds on the Lord. He's coming. Scripture point blank says it. Now, some people don't believe in the coming of the Lord. They say, well, since the fathers fell asleep, everything is the same. You know, this coming of the Lord stuff, we've been hearing about it since the 70s. In my generation, we've been hearing about it since the 70s. I mean, we were hearing messages since the 70s that the Lord was coming soon. Now we need to get our act together and to get out of the system of Babylonian churches and prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Since the 70s, 70s passed. In fact, some people thought the rapture would take place in the 70s. Some in my generation, 80s passed, 90s passed, and look at where we are now. You know, 50 years have passed since I've been hearing about this coming of the Lord. And even I myself been talking about it. So finally people said, look, you know, to your tents, O Israel, Maybe he will come, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll come someday, but not in my generation. The people begin to think, and then they just say, you know, go about their business, and they forget about it. Well, in a day when you think not, in an hour when you think not, then he cometh, and he catch them off guard. Who then is that wise and faithful servant, whom his master has appointed to give meat to his house in due season? Blessed is that servant whom, when his master shall come, shall find him so doing. Say, behold, I tell you, you will appoint him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that wicked servant shall begin to say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, you know, and then begin to, you know, party with the unrighteous and begin to eat and be drunken with the hypocrites and sinners and so forth. Say, well, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and cut him asunder, catch him off guard, and appoint his portion with, you know, the hypocrites and the unbelievers, and there will be great weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, you know, so let's be that wise and faithful servant. Let's be up and doing the things that the Lord, you know, has called. It's a song we used to sing, you know, back in the day when I was young, say, I'm thinking when my Lord shall come. I'm thinking when he shall come again. You know what? I'm thinking when my Lord shall come again. I'm thinking when my Lord shall come. I am thinking when my Lord shall come again. I wonder how the day shall be. Are you thinking about it? Are you wondering? Well, unto them that think about it, and unto them that look for his appearing, makatoshe rebakulia, unto them shall he appear. You know, he's not going to appear to anybody that's not thinking about it. He's going to catch them off guard. You know, but, you know, scripture says, look, we are not of the night that day should come upon us unawares. Jesus said, lo, I've told you before, you know, be ye therefore watchful and waiting, ready to open to your master when he cometh. If he shall come in the second watch or the fifth watch or whatever, you'll be ready to open unto him immediately. You know, praise the Lord. So let's not lose sight, because many people have lost sight of those things. I don't believe the Lord is coming anymore. You know, so read that story that I, or that lesson that I told you in Matthew chapter 24. Read it from verse 45. Who then is that faithful and wise servant? You know, who is he? The Lord has appointed him to do certain things. If he's doing it, and well, and he finds you so doing, that's a great blessing. Because he's thinking when his Lord will come, and he's been about the master's business. But if he's not, well, the Lord's coming to catch him off guard and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. And that's not going to be funny at all. You know, so let's never lose sight of the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 57. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, many people don't believe that anymore. And people actually think that everybody must die. They say, look, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, and that's the argument that people think that everybody must die. That, you know, Adam said the same thing. We're waiting to die. But one man figured it out, and not everybody wants to die. Till this day, Enoch is not dead. You know, and so, you know, that right away throws out this theory that everybody must die. Till this day, Enoch's not dead, and he will never die, because God took him that he should not see death. He will never die. Some people thought that the two witnesses in Revelation 11, they will be Elijah and Enoch, because they are the two men that have not seen death. Well, you don't know that. Those are the ones that are written in the Bible. You know, but Enoch was never a prophet to Israel, was way before their time. Enoch was a sign of those that will be translated without seeing death. Elijah will come back and see death. We know that. It will be Moses and Elijah. They were seen with Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. They'll come back. One of them died and was raised in a body that can perish still again. You know, Elon never died. God kept him. And he eventually died. Two of them, 3 days seen and, you know, all around the world by satellite TV. And God, they plagued this world in the during the tribulation. And then the Spirit of God will come upon them and revive them and stand up and everybody will see it. My goodness, satellite. They will see it. You know, but people think that, oh, we must all die. Well, because, you know, it's appointed unto men once to die. Well, actually, that again is, you know, a mistruth or half-truth that people think that everybody must die once, you know, and so forth. Once to die. You know, and after this job, there are people that have died twice. You know, so, you know, somebody like Lazarus, whom Christ raised from the dead, died twice. He died once, Jesus raised him up, and he died again. Because he's not here with us now. You know, so, you know, that people must die once, that's not what that means at all. It just says, you know, after you are dead, the next thing comes the judgment. You know, so, you know, and all that gap of waiting, it doesn't seem like a long gap at all to those who, you know, there's some of them, it might seem like a long gap. Some it might not seem. You know, there are some seen under the altar that says, you know, how long until you, you know, avenge us, you know, our blood and so forth. You know, I believe those might have been Jews, you know, because the real believer will say, Father, forgive them in the kingdom. That's what they say. They don't cry out for blood. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus did. That's what Stephen did. But, you know, these Jews, they still have this an eye for an eye thing, you know, and, you know, so even while they were all at the altar, they're still crying out, you know, when will you, you know, judge us? I mean, judge them. All these things they've done to us. Well, you know, but for others, it's like a moment of time. It's like a twinkling of an eye. You know, I mean, they sleep in the Lord and the next thing they know, and the presence of God, you know, a lot of time may pass, but just like that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, so let's not forget it. I show you a mystery, he said. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not all of us will die, but we're all going to be changed, transformed. And transfigured in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Praise the Lord. Well, it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye when the change comes, the last change at the last trump. But before that, there is a process of change that is going on. And it's happening now. That's right. It's happening now. We must go through a process. But then, in a twinkling of an eye, you've been going through, and then it seems all of a sudden. I mean, Jesus talked about these things. He said, you put a seed in the ground, it's growing night and day, you don't know how. Then, you know, suddenly one day when it's ripe, you put in the sickle and you reap. So the same thing. We've been going through this process, being changed from glory to glory, you know, as by the Spirit of the Lord. According to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And then suddenly, one day, it's like, boom, it's ripe, and you're there, and you're gone. When we are changed fully to light, just like Enoch, will be translated. Hallelujah. Now, this corruptible must put on incorruptible. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death has no more sting over us. Grave has no more power over us. Thanks be unto God, he said. You know, he said, well, I tell you what, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory over sin and over death and over the grave through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and he cometh with his reward, will give to every man according as their work shall be. You know, so this is a powerful, don't lose sight, no matter what you are doing, no matter what, you know, you are pursuing. Never lose sight of the coming of the Lord. I wanted to throw that out there because, you know, sometimes, you know, we're just so focused on natural things only that we forget the spiritual. Now, let me wrap this up. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3 and 20. You know, I mean, we've been talking about all-encompassing promises. This one even goes beyond. He said, look, if you can think it, God can do it and even exceed it. Just think about it. I mean, the power of imagination is so awesome. You can sit here and think of yourself to be in some place 1,000 miles, you know, away from where you are. Just think of it by thought. You can be there, you know, and thought can be amazing too. That's why we are commanded to think on these things. You know, if anything is good, Philippians 4 and 8, if anything is of praise and virtue and is honest and true and of good report, think on those things because the power of thought is so great. Think on the coming of the Lord. Think on, you know, those people you meet. You know, think on, wow, maybe I'll get to see Enoch. Well, maybe I'll ask him, how'd you figure it out? And everybody else around you was dying. How in the world did you figure it out? Well, maybe he'll tell you something. You know, maybe I'll, you know, you get to meet Adam. You say, wow, why in the world would you give into that? You know, maybe you get to meet Abraham. I mean, your favorite characters in those scriptures, maybe David, you know, you think about it. And of course, get to see the Lord himself. Praise God. You know, so think about these things. And if you can think about something good, the Lord said he can do it and even exceed your thoughts and your imaginations. Now, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we've been talking about guidance. I'm going to wrap this up with this. Romans 8 and 14. You know, how do we know that we are the sons of God? Because we are being guided and being led by the Spirit of God. You know, that's the proof. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it is important for us to, you know, be led by the Spirit of God. That's how you know that you are a child of God. And the Spirit of God is leading you. The Spirit of God was the one leading Christ all the time. It was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was the Spirit of God that told him what to do. I mean, sometimes he did some things that were kind of outlandish and, you know, I mean, to the natural eye. One time he wanted to heal somebody. Somebody asked him for healing. Spirit of God told him to take the man out of the city. He took him out of the city and healed him. He could have healed him right there where he was standing. But for whatever reason, best known to the Lord at the time, to the Father, the Spirit, you know, directed him to take the man out of the city. And he healed him. You know, maybe there was something in the atmosphere. Who knows? Anyway, the Spirit of God must lead us. And we must submit ourselves to his leadership. My presence, that's where we started. And that's where we're concluding. We started with, my presence shall go before you, and I will give you rest. And we're concluding with, as many as are led by that presence, the Spirit of God, they indeed are the sons of God. In between those two, we gave many promises that can help you with, you know, guidance, with, you know, what the Lord will do and direct your paths and so forth. And also promises that can help you with anything you're asking for the Lord, from the Lord, as far as long as you believe. You know, so I'm going to close this lesson here today. This was another chapter in the promises of God that you can use for yourself. as you practice the faith lab, you know, we are trying to take this thing to production. Remember, that's what you do in the lab. You practice, practice, practice. And it's a formula that you're trying to prove. It's a, you know, there's a theory or something that you're trying to demonstrate, you know, and you put the formula together, you practice, practice, practice. Eventually you get it right. You perfect the thing. And once you get it right, you take it to production. And that's how we get all these pharmaceuticals. In the same lab where they were practicing it at first is the same lab where they will eventually produce this thing. You know, and then now, you know, they perfected the thing. And the outcomes, these medications, the tablets, and all these things, because they have a formula. They can do it again and again and again and again and get the same outcome, produce the same thing, because now they've known how it works. So, likewise, ye also, you know, as you practice these things, you are developing a formula. And once you figure it out, you know, I called it my faith specs. It's a formula that works. You figure it out. You find the scripture. You make sure that you know that God is able to do it. But then you go a step further. It's not only that he's able to do it. You embrace it for that particular situation that he will actually do it. You know, sometimes we think God is able to do something, but we're not sure whether he will do it in this case. Well, you know, you need to not only know that he can do it, but that he will do it. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. And then, you know, you take a posture of faith, your answer of faith. What is your answer of faith? And anybody, you know, ask you, Bible says, be ready to, you know, give a response when anyone shall ask you for the reason of the hope that's in you. Well, if anyone challenges your faith and your belief into, or any situation challenges, well, what's your answer of faith? How should you do it? I shared a message at GMI Church on Sunday, and I posted it on your WhatsApp platform, our WhatsApp platform. If you get a chance, you might listen to it in its entirety or portions of it. It's only about an hour or so. You know, what is, you know, what is the posture of faith that you have? You know, how do you respond to things, you know, that may be contrary, different kinds of voices that can come? That message was titled, All Kinds of Voices, and then the voice of faith. There's all kinds of voices that come to discourage you when you're trying to build this formula, you know, of how you get things done. The devil will come, tell you, well, you know, you can't do that. Whoever heard of such a thing? Even the closest people to you might be the ones to try to derail you. Peter was one of the closest to Jesus among his disciples. And he was the very one that was trying to derail Christ, discourage him, you know, from going to the cross. Took him and began to rebuke him, say, Master, that's not your portion. You will not die. And Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Because thou knowest not the things of God. You only think of man. Just thinking of me here as a man, just to come here and be here and do these things. I've got a higher purpose. You don't understand this. You know, so it might be your closest friends that may try to derail you. It might be anything. It might be the voice of reason even, you know. As you and try to do something, you know, the voice of reason, very subtle. You know, look, you are old, I am old. You know, I'm way gone beyond my age. I know God promised us this thing, but maybe the way he wants to do it is not the way we are thinking. Why don't you go on to my maid here and see if I may receive child by her? Because look, my body can't do it anymore. I'm too old. And that was Sarah. That's a voice of reason. Well, God's word defies logic. That's right. And the voice of faith will also defy logic. And we need to posture ourselves like that. You know, once you get a hold of the promise of God, you stay with it. Don't let anybody derail you from it. Don't let anything derail you from it. And eventually you shall have whatsoever you saith. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson, and thank you for everyone that's listening and everyone that's listening now and everyone that will listen later. As we build, the Bible says, build up your most holy faith. As we are building up our most holy faith through these lessons, gaining knowledge and understanding, help us, O Lord, to perfect our faith. I asked a question the other day. I said, can faith be perfected? And obviously the answer is yes. Lord, we pray that we will be able to perfect our faith so that it works every time, not just once in a while. Pray, Lord, for this understanding. Thank you for these precious and great promises through which we become partakers of the divine nature. Whatever anyone is going through today, may they be encouraged through the word of God and through these lessons to stand strong, knowing that it will not tarry. And even if it appears to tarry, wait for it, because it won't tarry long. Our God shall come and save us. Your God will come. And he will save you. But when he comes, will he still find you at the point of faith? May the Lord help and bless everyone. Listen to this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.